Hello. Welcome to another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. We are so thankful that you decided to join us today, and we know this will be a great show because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So, Vilma, we had to change our schedules around. So what do you think you want to talk about today?
Well, let's see. Let's wing it as we go along. You know, let's speak from the heart. Whatever, you know, God puts on your heart, let's go with it.
But don't we always talk from the heart?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm a heart person. Yes, I am. So, you know, I was thinking, do you ever have anything that you kind of hold on to? For example, clothes that you're holding on to since 5 years ago, thinking that, okay, I'm going to lose weight this year. I'm going to be able to wear it again, or something somebody gave you, or something that is so old and raggedy, but you just can't let it go. It's like you have an attachment problem with it. I do that sometimes. What about you?
My entire closet. I think half of my closet.
There's some new clothes.
Yeah, I think half of my closet is clothes that I think I can get back in. Before I moved to Delaware for church and different function and work, I had to wear a suit. And I haven't worn stockings. I was just telling someone that today, that since I went to Delaware, I haven't worn a stocking in almost 20 years.
Because wow.
It's a different atmosphere from what I'm used to back in New York. And I used to wear suits to church, and now I don't wear suits anymore. So it's like, yeah, half of my closet probably need to go because I am not the same size I used to be.
Are you still holding on to those stockings?
Some of them probably, because they're good. I don't have a rip in them.
they're probably dry rot by now.
I know, right?
Exactly. Well, you're talking about that. I lived in New York, and I remember I still have a jacket. My husband bought me my first suit in 1985, 86. Because I never would wear suits. I just didn't like it. He went out and he bought me one, and I have this suit. And I finally had to give away the skirt because, of course, it didn't fit me anymore. But I still have the jacket. And every time I change around my closet, I look at this jacket. Not the prettiest thing, out of style. Don't tell him I said that. But I still hold on to it, hoping that the length of the sleeve will grow or I will shrink. Or, I don't know, maybe sentimental.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you got to get rid of this thing. Get something new. Mm-hmm. Not to mention when my daughter come and I'm, you know, changing around from winter to summer or summer to winter, and she looks and she says, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. And I allow her to drop them on the floor. And I have that sincere looking face. I'm going to get rid of it. And as soon as she leaves the room, I start to try to get rid of them. I look at it and I was like, no, I love this one. Mm-hmm. And I sneak it back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think we all do that. And we kind of fool ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But I'm not the way I used to be. So I guess we just basically, if we look at it this way, we need to make room for something new. Instead of holding on to the past, we need to actually make room for something new.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have room, we miss out on so much.
Exactly.
And I just think that we need to declutter so that we are able to see, we are able to see clearly, we are able to move around, we are able to accomplish things, because we tend, not only your closet, but some people's homes, and you know, you walk in there, not that the things are bad, but it's just so crowded.
Right.
And why don't you give it away? Give it to somebody who will benefit from it, who will use it, you know, right. Just declutter, you know, like our lives. Some of our lives are like that.
Definitely.
You know, in December last year, God really spoke to me about decluttering. And it's like he was saying to me in 2020, you need to get rid of these things. I had hats, so many hats that I used to wear hats to church. Of course, I don't anymore. And it's like, get rid of these hats. So I went through, I got rid of the hats. I got rid of, God bless me, I was able to buy a new car. I was holding on to the other one. And it's like, get rid of it. You're not going into 2020 carrying these things. And I think God is saying to us on a spiritual realm, get rid of these things, because you cannot continue with me carrying these baggages. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, and that's true. We sometimes hold on to things in our past, and it causes us to not receive all that God has for us in the future. And an example of that, I remember God spoke to me clearly in this too, because I used to go around saying that I'm 32, or I'm still stuck in 32 in my age, and not wanting to say my actual age when I passed the number 32. And then the Spirit of God said to me, well, do you want the blessings I have for you at 40? Do you want the blessings I have for you at 35? Or do you want to still hang on to the things you already have in 32? And I tell you, I quickly said, Lord, I'm not going to say I'm 32 anymore, because I want all that you have for me for the future. Because we have a tendency of trying to hold on to the past, or holding on to things that happened to us in the past, and holding on to those things, it causes us not to receive all that God has for us today and for the future. We have to definitely learn to let go of the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. And not only just getting rid of things in the past, because, you know, but things that do not add value to your life right now, things that are hindrances, because yes, there are some things that we need to hold on to. It never gets old. The word of God, of course, we know that. But then there are those other things, as you said, holding on to past grudges, holding on to past friends, when God says it's time to let them go. We're not able to move forward holding on to them.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And medically, you can speak of this, because they're saying that 75 to about 90% of the illnesses that we have is because of the things that we're resentment or whatever may be, which you can testify this more than I can because of your background, what they're saying, right?
Right, absolutely. When you said I could testify to that, I was like, what, does she think I'm holding on to that?
No, I'm just saying because of your medical background.
No, I know. I thought
wrong
I was
word,
funny.
Wrong word, not testify, but you can able to medically give the statistics that's needed for this.
Yes, yes. That is so funny. But you're absolutely right. Unforgiveness has been shown to cause a lot of medical problems. Number one, when you have somebody in your heart that you can't let go. You're thinking about them. Number one, you lose sleep at nights because they're constantly occupying space in your head without paying rent for it. And you know, it's there. And so you're grouchy. You get up the next morning, you're tired. You haven't slept well. Sometimes you don't eat well. Sometimes it can create ulcers. And from getting ulcers, you know, you don't eat because it irritates the ulcer. And sometimes people have had high blood pressure. They have had diabetes in the sense that they may start to eat things that's not healthy for them and end up, you know, making themselves get ill with diabetes. And I have seen it over and over, and they just keep expanding the amount of medications that they take because, oh, my blood pressure is not coming down. So I have to go let the doctor give me more. And you keep taking more and more and more. And sometimes if we just let go.
Yes, yes.
And let God.
Yes, definitely.
Sometimes we end up don't even need these medications.
No.
We don't even need it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's true, you know. And we have to able to come to an understanding of saying, am I hurting someone for holding on to what they did to you in the past? Am I holding on? Is this going to help me or is it going to hurt me? Who is it really hurting? Is it really hurting that person or is it hurting me? We have to make that decision to say that, you know what? I'm going to let go. I'm going to walk into my 2021 letting go of past hurts, letting go of past things, letting go of past relationships that we can able to build on what God has for us, build on the right relationships, build on the right things that we need to do for our health, for our bodies, declutter our minds, because our mind, I always say the enemy wants our mind, because when he has our mind, he has our future, he has our hope, he has everything when he has our mind. But that's what he wants, and that's what the Bible said, to guard your heart or guard the thoughts that come into your mind. You have to pull down every imagination that try to uphold itself against God, because those thoughts, you know, you can't prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you certainly can prevent him from, you know, staying there and building a nest. So we need to come against the thoughts that's coming, that's the wrong thoughts that's coming towards us, and just say, nope, I'm not going to agree with that. Nope, I'm not going to accept that, and start having good thoughts. I think the last time we had a conversation, Vilma, we talked about Philippians 4:8, about thinking on good things. Those are the things that we have to do in order to get our bodies healthy, in order to get our mind, declutter our mind, decluttering our thoughts. Because if the way you think also affect the things that you do.
Absolutely. And one of the things I think why it is so difficult to let go is we love control. We love to control things. I need to control my day. I need to control, you know, how I'm trying to find a correct word to use, but we are such master controllers that we cannot just sit back and say, okay, God, I am letting go and I'm allowing you to take the wheel. I'm allowing you to make my decisions. I'm allowing you to go on ahead, forge the path, and then I will walk after you. It's like a backseat driver. And my husband tells me that all the time. You know, sometimes he will say, why don't I just stop and you drive? Because he's driving, but I'm giving directions. And that is what we do with God. We say, okay, God, you can go in the driver's seat. And as soon as he starts to drive and he gets to this person, okay, you're not speaking to them. You need to apologize, or you need to go say, sorry, okay, God. No, don't stop here. Keep going. I want you to make a stop at that light. I see people there that I love and that loves me and that they don't talk about me, and I can have a conversation with them. But God is saying, I am in the driver's seat, and I want to give you something more. So you better drop this animosity, drop this unforgiveness, drop this hatred, drop these thoughts you're thinking about yourself, thoughts that you were told about yourself mm-hmm. when you were younger. Mm-hmm. And I want you to make room so I can show you the things I have for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just like what I said about, I kept on saying I'm 32 and what God says, because if we allow our 9-year-old selves or our teenage selves or our 20 something selves dictate who we are, we're not going to reach our destiny. We're not. There's no way, because we have grown and mature, hopefully, into the things and the character of what God wants us to be. Because I know I grew up very insecure. I tell people sometimes that I was very insecure and they didn't believe it because of how I am now. But I have to talk myself. I know sometimes self-talk is bad, but sometimes self-talk is good, because that's what David even had to do. He had to encourage himself when everybody else was against him. You know, I have to tell myself, Vivian, you can do this. Vivian, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people are saying. It doesn't matter what you even think, Vivian. You have to be able to do this. If God opened the door, you have to walk in. If the opportunity comes, it doesn't matter if you don't have the qualifications, because I see many times on jobs that I'm on, people thinking and expect me to do certain things. And I'm telling you, Vilma, sometimes I don't know half the things that they want me to do, but I had to go to God and say, God, you know, they're expecting me to do this. I have no clue what I'm doing. And I see over and over again, when I go to God, he always has somebody said, call this person, call that person. And when time came for me to present what I have to do, God always show up and show off. They're like, okay, Vivian, so can you get that done? I'm like, yeah, sure. I can get that done with the confidence, because I knew God was behind me. He showed me and led me to the right person at the right time. But we have to able to know who he is and what he can do in our lives. And the only way to do that is to renew our minds and not making or allowing our past to dictate our future. We have to allow what God says to line up with our future and believe that what he says, he can able to accomplish what he says he can do.
Absolutely. There's a verse that I want to share with those who are listening, and it's from James 4, verse 7, and it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from thee. And this is a verse that, believe it or not, is talking about letting go, because once you submit yourself, that means you come under the management and the direction of the Holy Spirit. You submit yourself. So you are no longer allowing yourself to make this decision. And once you are doing that, submitting yourselves then to God, you are able to resist the things that come at you, including the enemy, the devil. And he will run. He will run away from you. He will flee from you. And it is not an easy thing to do. So I'm not going to pretend it's easy. But the other verse that also helps to give me courage and assurance in who I am, it talks about being dead. You know, put yourself as a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. you know, going on the altar and presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, for this is a reasonable service. Mm-hmm. And think about it, and when you are dead, sacrifices in those days were usually something that was dead and it was taken, you know, and then it was burned. And he's saying living sacrifice, so in ourselves, our awareness, our wills, our emotion, And we are laying it down and we are saying, I am making myself dead. So when I'm dead, I don't hear what people say. Mm-hmm. If you go to the cemetery and you walk around and you talk about people, whether it's good or bad, they don't hear a word you're saying. They don't move. They're there. So that's what we have to do when we present ourselves before God as a living sacrifice on the altar. We don't hear what people say about us. We ignore it. It makes a difference. So we're able to ignore it as if we're not seeing or hearing them. And then we just focus on the things that God wants us to do and wants us to accomplish.
Yeah, and one of the scriptures also I used to use for this is, because sometimes thoughts come, and, you know, one of the scriptures I use is, I believe it's in Psalms, maybe Psalms 94, it says, in the multitude of thoughts within me, your comfort delights my soul. I have to remember that God has a plan for me, and the plan that he has is good and not evil, and it doesn't matter what people say, you know. But it takes time to get to that point, and we know that, because like I said, I was very insecure when I was younger, in my 20s, in my teens, and it took a lot for me to get where I am, because I know people used to tell me I don't speak well and different things like that because I have an accent or whatever it may be. But you know, and of course, family used to say, you got a big nose, you're this. And all the things, sometimes you just think that, because I know when I was younger too, I think that I was ugly. And I had certain insecurities. But because of God and his word and starting to see the things in myself, how God sees me. And I remember him telling me specifically once that I can't say I'm ugly anymore. And I literally hear his voice saying that I'm calling him a liar. If I say that I'm ugly, I remember he said that to me. He said, you're calling me a liar. I'm like, no, God, I'm not calling you a liar. He said, everything I've created is beautiful. Everything. So therefore, if I said everything I created is beautiful, then you saying that you're ugly, you're calling me a liar. And I had to quickly try to learn to change my thoughts and change my mind towards the fact that, yeah, I may not be the gorgeous, but I'm pretty. And I might be pretty to some, I might not be attractive to others. But to me, I have to love me for me. I can't love myself for anybody else. But I have to love myself for me, because why? God loves me. So therefore, I'm valuable. Therefore, I'm somebody. Therefore, I'm worth it. You know? So we have to find those things that can able to get us out of that rut of living in the past, of listening to the stinking thinkings, and start putting on the characteristic of the things that God says you are. And he, what does he say? He says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. What he says? He says you're the righteousness of God. What did he say? Vilma, give us another one. What he says about you?
I'm royal priesthood.
Yes. Yes.
A holy nation.
Yes.
And I am the head and not the tail.
That's
I
right.
I am above and not beneath.
That's right. And those are the things that he says about us. He thinks so highly of us that he even allowed his son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. It's almost like he will give up everything just for you, that one. That's how much he cares for us. That's how much he cares for you. He knows every hair on your head. He knows every thoughts that you have. He knows your tears. You know, he knows everything about you, every intricate part of you. He knows. And that's just beautiful. That's just beautiful. And that's just how good he is.
Absolutely. So for our audience, I'm just going to recap some of the things that we are asking them and ourselves to let go of. And some of the things are that we mentioned, and what I want you to do as you listen to us is add yours. We may not have touched something that you are wrestling with, you're holding on to, but add it. When you hear the list, you can go ahead and add it. And then Bibilin will do a recap of when we let go of that thing, what we put in the place of it. Because if you don't occupy the space with something else, that thing is going to come back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So here are some of the things that we are imploring you to let go of. Even as simple as things in your home that you don't wear, your old clothes, clothes that's too small, extra things in your home where somebody else can use. When you hold on to it, it's not beneficial to you. God wants us to bless others. That's why he blessed you so much. And then if we look at a more spiritual sense, we are wanting to let go of past hurts, unforgiveness, lies from the enemy, our insecurities, our worry, our anxieties, fear, broken dreams and promises. We want to let go of anger. We want to let go of disappointments. And anything else that you are wrestling with, that you're holding onto, that is adding no value to your life, I want you to add it to the list and say, in addition to what you say, I'm also letting go of X. I'm also letting go of Y. I'm also letting go of that malice that I have against my parents or my siblings. Yes, I am letting go of that. And as I let go of it, Bibilin, remind us of some of the things, or remind our audience of some of the things that they can replace these things with to make sure that they don't return.
Yeah. The best thing to replace it with is the Word of God. That's the best thing, that if you can find a scripture to stand on and to fight with. Because when I say fight, because like Vilma said earlier, the thoughts will come and try to counteract. It's almost like you're in a battlefield, you know. The enemy, of course, you know, you fight and you want a little bit, but then you need to get more ammunition. You need to get more of your allies to be there with you, because he's going to come even stronger. So if you had a little song to help you, now get a scripture with the song. Or if you have one scripture, now get two scriptures, because the enemy going to try to come with more thoughts and more thoughts. And they said it takes about 21 days to break a habit. But then I know Dr. Carolyn Leaf says it takes about 6 to 3 days, and that's what the military does with their basic training. It takes 6 to 3 days to reprogram somebody's mind. So, you know, you can't do it 5 days and just stop. So you have to continue and work at it and fine tune it. So get the scriptures, number one. Number two, start, you know, speak to yourself in the mirror what God says about you. If you have to write things down, write it down on what God says, that, you know, I will not live in fear, because God is not fear. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. If that's something that you're dealing with and you're holding on to let go of fear, use the scripture and utilize it when the thoughts come to counteract that thing. And another thing is, have somebody keep you accountable. Get someone to keep you accountable. If you have an issue with something and you feel like you can't do it alone, get someone to keep you accountable to say, hey, I'm going to stop thinking this thing, or I'm not going to do this anymore. Or another thing is, put it out in the open. Say it. Mm-hmm. If you have some resentment against someone or you're offended by them, go talk to them. Get it right. Those are things that really can help you get to the next level. So I just gave you about 5 examples, which is number one, the Word of God. Number two, you know, get more ammunition. What's the word? Ammunition. Weapon.
ammunition.
I can't say the word. Ammunition to fight against the thoughts that comes your way. And number three, confess your sins. Confess what's going on. Repent and get it right if you have aught against someone else. You know, and those are things that can help you. And also look in the mirror and recite the words and the things that God says about you. Those are key. Meditating on the word, meditating on good things, which we talked about last time. But those things can able to get you to the next level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was a quote that I was trying to give credit to who said it. And it's not really biblical, but I think it's something we can think about. I think it's Mahatma Gandhi. And I hear people use it all the time. And it says, your beliefs become your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts become your words. Mm-hmm. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny.
That's right.
And it's not from the Bible, but it's applicable, mm-hmm. as Bibilin was trying to encourage you to replace your actions or your thinking by the word of God, because the more we think about it, the word of God will take root in our minds. And if we think about the word of God all the time, we'll start to speak the word of God. And as we speak the word of God, we start to act out on what the word of God says. And as we act out our actions, then it becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. That 21 days or 60 something days he mentioned. And then we start to value it. And as we value it, and hold on to it, it shapes our destiny.
That's right. So yeah, those things are vitally important for us to apply. These are things that I do and Vilma does in her life too, you know, and we know it does work. And we know that the people also, we talked about this last time too, also the people that you surround yourself with is vitally important. If you're surrounding yourself with negative people, you get a negative end result. So you need to surround yourself with those individuals that want you to succeed and want you to prosper. And be careful also about the things that you watch, because that's important to what you get in your eye gates and your ear gates. Those things will hinder you. Or if you're holding on to a past hurt and you're listening to nothing but hurtful country songs, it ain't gonna work. It's gonna continue bringing you back where you're trying to get out of. But we just thank God that his word never fails. We thank God that he is faithful and that he will able to do all that he says he can do in our lives.
Bibili, you mentioned a very key point about the people we surround ourselves with. You know, sometimes what we need to realize that friends are in our lives, or some people are in our lives for a season, mm-hmm. and some people are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you need to find out when that season is over. Mm-hmm. And when that season is over, you have to let go of it. And when they have accomplished the reason they were in your life for, then you need to let go. Mm-hmm. Because I found myself in the past holding on to some relationships that they were good while they lasted. But now it's no longer feeling like it's doing me good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it's of value. And sometimes you tend to mourn about it, but God is probably saying to you, I have a replacement for you. Mm-hmm. Because some friends can only accompany you to a certain point on your journey.
That's right.
And then you need somebody else with the tools that will be able to take you the rest of your journey, or maybe for the next mile or so. It doesn't mean that they were bad. It doesn't mean that you don't love them anymore. But God is saying, I want you to focus in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we hold on. If our friend's not doing it, we hold on because we want to be like them. We don't want them to talk about us. And we are missing out on what God wants us to do. And to me, when you hold on to things that are not helping you at the time, I think it's unnecessary luggage, as a matter of fact, baggage. Mm-hmm. And if you come and you are packed with a lot of suitcases and stuff on you, there are doors that God is opening that you can't go through because you have too much. You know, the door not wide enough to take you and all those packages of things that you need to let go, that you're walking in with. So you stand outside the door that God has opened and you look in and the opportunities are there. Some of them you probably won't see until you walk in. And the only way you're going to get in, Vivian, you know, I think about this, is just letting go and then walking in to your destiny, walking into the blessings, walking into all those things that's inside that open door that you're not seeing from the outside.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Yeah, so true. So true.
So what I was going to say is, as you get ready to wrap this up, you can only get one thing from what we said in this podcast. One thing. What I want you to take away is letting go and let God. It is scary, but he will catch you. It's like, maybe right now because your sons are older, but when you have children and they are young and they stand up and they want to jump and you tell them jump, they're not looking at the height. No. They're not thinking if you're strong. They're not looking if something is in the way that may catch their dress or their shirt or their pants. They just jump. Why? Because they completely trust that you are going to catch them.
That's right.
That's what we want to do. It's like standing in the airplane, let go. Let go. Don't look down at the height where you're coming from. Just let go. Exactly. And just think of God catching you in his arms and turning you in the direction that he wants you to go. What do you want to close with our audience?
I was going to say, what God has for us is much greater than we think we can ever imagine. Instead of holding on to these things that's not getting us anywhere, what he has is greater. It blows my mind sometimes, the things that God has done. And those are the things that you want to have, that hunger. And I know we all want what God has for us. We all want it. But what are you willing to do to get it? Can't, like Vilma said, you can't bring the suitcases and the barrels and everything with you. You got to let them go. Take off those old clothes we have stored up, those old things, and let them go, because we can't carry them with us. But we able to press towards the mark of the high calling, press towards our destiny, press towards the things that God has for us, press towards the kingdom of God, because, and not be a systematic thoughts right now of, you know, me, myself, or, you know, me and my problems, but no, let go, shed those baggages, like Vilma said, and let's step into our destiny, step into the things of God, because what he has is greater. Whatever we can imagine, he can do exceedingly abundantly above, far above all that we can think or ask for. So don't you want it? I want it for you, and I want it for myself. So what's the answer for you? Do you want it? How badly do you want it?
That's the $1 million question.
Yes, exactly. How badly do we want it? So we just want to encourage you today and uplift you to say, let's do this together. We're doing this life together, and let's start shedding those baggages. Let's start shedding those unforgiveness. Let's stop holding on to our past or our past selves, and let's start going, pressing towards the things that God has for us. Don't allow anyone or anything to distract you from that end result, because God wants more. Once again, this is another episode of Life Chat with Viv and Vil. Goodbye.
Bye.